Long rebounds.
Simmons all the way in. Got it done. An aggressive Ben Simmons here in the first quarter. Give him seven.
Simmons has the ball. Look at the swiping of it inside. He's still got it to go. Three. Simmons with a dive and two. Downhill.
Ben, there was a moment there in the second half where you got a steal and a layup and then hit the ear, hand to your ear like Allen Iverson egging on the crowd. Tell us what you were feeling at that moment and what made you do that?
I was thinking about the boos from last game. But, you know, I got a lot of love for the city, the fans here. And, you know, every time I step on the floor, I try and, you know, play as hard as I can. And I was just showing that, you know, the hustle I try and give each and every game is, you know, not only for my teammates, my family, it's for the city.
Yeah, NBA Strayer. How you going? That's right, man. It's NBA Strayer. It is Tuesday, April 16. I am your host, James Clements. I'm a writer, apparently, for Rolling Stone, Triple J, Junkie, Red Bull Mag, whoever else wants to sling me some of that sweet, sweet folding stuff. And I'm here in Larry Armour Studios letting you know who's doing what, where they're doing it, why they're doing it. Of course, who's doing it better than Lonzo Ball in the NBA playoffs? As we break down and wrap up after every single day of NBA action this season, all the way through the playoffs, while repping Straya just a little bit, mate. That's what we do. All right, so two big games to cover off today. We had Sixers Nets and Clippers Warriors. We had a big injury happen, which might affect the reigning two-time champions. And also, it was only just the biggest playoff comeback of all bloody time. What? Anyway. That'll also be covered with the usual dumbassery if that's not an eye fold, mate. No, mate, spud of the night, pantsing of the evening, better than Lonzo Ball. Of course, there's Yeah Nah, there's the unpopular opinion of the day, and there's Outback Takehouse, where we're serving up a flame grill take. Plus, there's a look at the odds and a pick and preview for all three of the game twos tomorrow, which would be pretty cool. A couple of sweet tips thrown in for you as well. And we're going to close out today with a brand new Jingles HR. Awesome. We're going to Mark Brecky's sweaty white guy memorial as well, so it's gonna be good. I hope it better be. I mean, shit, but bug it if it isn't. All right, it's NBA Strayer episode 266. Let's go.
This is Mitch Creek, and you're listening to NBA Strayer.
Watch out for the Shaq attack.
Wow, you better. Oh, you better watch out for the attack of Lou Williams and Montrezl Harrell. Holy shit, that was awesome, wasn't it? Goddamn, Clippers. All right, we're going to get to that in a second. We're going to start today's show the way we start every show here at NBA Australia with the Daily. Flip around, that's right, Luke Walton. He was formally introed as the new Kings coach. That's right, Luke Walton. You shit can one day, literally the next day, the Sacramento Kings lay. Fuck it, you can be our coach. He's like, sick, I'll just move up the road, laughing. Sacramento is a long way away from LA and not quite as glamorous. Yeah, I'll tell you what. Enjoy that though, Luke. It's kind of funny, kind of cool. Good on him, and I'm happy that Vlade has his man, I guess. Sure. Why not? Cool. Anyway, so what else? Oh, we had Zion Williamson. That was pretty neat. He was out there going, all right, hey, I'm going to be in the NBA draft. Everyone's like, yeah, no shit. You're going to be the number one pick. He joins his teammates, RJ Barrett and Cam Reddish. Also, Hachimura from the Zags. Hunter and Jerome from Virginia have also announced that they're going to be in the draft, declared for it, as it were. And even Aussie Willie McDowell-White has declared as well. Son of Brisbane Lions legend Daryl White. Played in Germany this year. Didn't really light it up, but he had a foot injury. So that'll do you. So there you go. A bit of news. Other injury news. Boogie left today's game against the Clippers with a left quad injury. Going in for an MRI. Same leg as his Achilles. Everyone was like a little bit, oh shit. As soon as he slipped and it was just over. Grabbing at his leg. Turns out might have a torn left quad. So that's a bit of a rough one. We'll find out more once the MRI is done tomorrow and it's all announced and junk. But still, it did not look good. Boogie! Which sucks. We'll talk about that later. Joel Embiid is obviously playing on a bad wheel, but he did go today for the Sixers. We did also find out yesterday that there might be no Blake Griffin for the entire series of Detroit versus Milwaukee, in which case they should actually just, like, forfeit the next three games. Right. Yeah, nice. Paul George reckons he's pain-free. It's like, well, okay, if you're paying three here, but you shoot better than 25%, you know. Bangers has refuted claims that he was even hurt. Aaron Bangers Baines. He's like, I wasn't hurt. What are you talking about? It's like, well, you looked hurt. He's like, nah. Pretty great. All right, let's do it. So let's wrap up some games for today. We had the two. We had Philly versus Brooklyn. And Philly laid the big smackdown on the Nets. 145-123. Absolutely wild after game one, where Simo stunk, Redick stunk, Harris stunk. They all stank. Game two, though, this was all tied up at the half. And then Philly went fucking ham on the Nets. They went on a 22-2 run. They scored 51 points in that third quarter. Absolutely wild times. There was just nothing the Nets could do. They shot, I think it was 72% in the third quarter, the Sixers. Somewhat baffling that Kenny Atkinson basically stood there and took it. That 21-2, 22-2 run. Just went, bah, nah, we don't need a timeout. It's like, Kenny, the game's getting away from you, mate. Once it gets to about 14-2, you should probably call a timeout. Jason Kidd-esque of just like absolute ambivalence. Kenny, what are you doing, mate? I love you, but Jesus. Anyway, so the Nets just fell apart in the third quarter, and that was that. Nothing they could do. The Sixers just kind of, you know, flexed in the fourth quarter, ran out the string, and that was all she wrote. I mean, holy crap, man. They outscored them by just a terrifyingly large amount, right? Like, come on, man. 51-23 in that third quarter. Fucking hell. So, yeah, 51 in a quarter will do that. That's the most scored in a single quarter in franchise history for the playoff history for the Sixers. So, pretty good. For the Nets, they had, look, rough ones. There was, like, fuck all assists for most of this game. It was about 10-12. For most of the game until late, where they got up to, I think it was 14 in the end. Still not very many, is it? Yeah, a bit of a rough. Oh, no, they got to 20 in the end. But yeah, it was not very much for most of it. They just weren't passing the ball. Or at least they weren't passing the ball and scoring. That'll do it. Yeah. So D'Angelo, he had 16 points on 16 shots. Turned back into the sort of D'Angelo that you're always slightly worried about. That'll just raise his head where he doesn't have like the wickedly efficient quarter and blow it open for you. Instead, he was just kind of a bit sketchy. Spencer Dinwiddie had 19 points. It was pretty good. 8 of 16 from the field, 3-7 from three. Rondae Hollis-Jefferson had 15 garbage time points. Ed fucking Davis couldn't do much in this game after having a really good game one, 12-16. He had 3,006 minutes in this one. That's a rough turnaround. Jesus. Joe Harris also had a bit of a rough one too. If he's not going, the Nets really can't get much happening. He had 4 points, 1 of 4 shooting. Jesus, in 26 minutes, Joe. What are you doing, mate? Damari Carroll, same sort of thing. He hit 2 threes early and then did literally nothing else for the entire game. Ended up on the 6 points. That he had 6 points after like the first 4 minutes and that was it. Jared Allen, go the fro. He had 9 points, 6 rebounds, 4 assists. Only had 2 fouls in this one, which is good. Still, only played 23 minutes. It was just kind of, yeah. All right, we're going to roll out like the other dudes. Rondae's going to play center. Like, it was a lot of that. It was pretty wild. Rodion Kurix, he had 8 points, 5 rebounds. Went toe-to-toe with the old Embiid and Simmons and stuff. It was pretty fun. Pretty cool. Good on you. But, I mean, yeah, just nothing really going for the Nets. My sweet baby Carrots, he had 13 points. 3 of 8 for him, though. Just, again, just couldn't quite get into a rhythm. For the Sixers, Big Simo, Ben Simmons, didn't get booed in this one. Chucked up a lazy triple-double. That's right, he fucked around, got a triple-double. 18 points, 10 rebounds, 12 assists. Absolutely smashed it. Joel Embiid had 23 points and 10 rebounds in 21 minutes. Jesus. Also had 5 fouls, but still. JJ Redick had 17 points, went 2 of 5 from downtown. Tobias Harris, the never-nude Tobias. He had 19 points. He actually showed up as well, which is nice. Mike Scott had 15 off the bench, but it was really Boban who came in and really changed the look of this game, I think, when he came in. He ended up with 16 points and 8 rebounds. My best mate, Boban Marjanovic. Yes, we're best mates, even though we only met that one time. But we are best mates. There was a connection. Just saying. I mean, even TJ McConnell got in there. He had 8 minutes. Oh, sorry, 10 minutes, 8 points. Yeah, there you go. Got to read my notes a little bit better. But anyway, look, Sixers just gave it the old flex and bang, away she went. Jimmy Butts, he had 7 points, seven assists. Didn't really quite back up his 36-point game Sunday, but he didn't really need to. Just out there crushing it. So there you go. Sixers get a big win at home. No boos this time. There was a couple of smattering of dumb boos early, but that was it. So this Sixers Nets series is all tied up 1-1 going back to Brooklyn. Good job, Nets. It's the best they could have really hoped for, you'd think. But at the same time, at the halftime mark of this game, they were just like, fuck, man, we're in this. What do you reckon? I reckon we give it a red hot go. What were they? They're down one, I think, at like the half. Yeah, crazy times. Anyway, hey, Brooklyn, don't give up 51-point quarters and you might win a couple more games. Anyway, all tied up 1-1, Philly, Brooklyn. And then today, the second game was the Golden State Warriors. That's right, the two-time champion Golden State Warriors. Losing in spectacular fashion to the 8-seeded LA Clippers, 135-131. What an absolute insane comeback. The Warriors blew another 3-1 lead. That's right, they were up by 31 points in this game. That is the biggest playoff comeback in NBA history. Absolutely wild times. Lou Williams just took over this game. Pat Beverly did in the coward snake Kevin Durant's head. Montrezl Harrell had 15 fucking points in the fourth quarter. Landry Sham, wow, Shamet hit a three to get them up one. It was probably the biggest ballsiest shot you'll see in the first round. It was, apart from maybe DJ Augustine. Holy shit, that was good. For a rookie. God damn, man. So the Warriors just sort of bottled it. Absolutely wild times. And, I mean, look, we didn't quite do the old big question, all that sort of shit for the Philly-Brooklyn game. But the one big question we had going into Clippers Golden State was, will Pat Bev kill Steph Curry on the court or off the court? Turns out Pat Beverly's just out there trying to kill fucking Kevin Durant every chance he gets, which is amazing fun to watch. Absolutely wild times. So this was a great game. It looked fucking dead and gone. They're up 31 points, the Warriors, in the third quarter. It's like, all right, she's written. It's all over. Red Rover, see you later. But fucking nope. Lou Will and the Clippers just went, all right, fuck you. How about we just come back and win this one? And that's what they did. It was absolutely insane. So in the fourth quarter, the Warriors shot 6 of 19. The Clippers shot 15 of 24. 62.5%. They made 3 out of 5 threes, whereas the Warriors went 1 of 7. Jesus. Absolutely wild times, man. Absolutely wild times. Pretty great. They had 83 bench points to the Clippers. 80 fucking 3 bench points. That's insane. A lot of that was Montrezl Harrell and Lou Will, but Jesus, 83 bench points is huge. Absolutely great stuff. Clippers, incredible game. I mean, the other thing that we're talking about in this when it comes to the key blokes and the matchups and stuff as well, key blokes is Boogie, first time playing in the playoffs, goes out after 4 minutes. And that meant they had to play a lot more Kevin Looney and Andrew Bogut, obviously. And look, we'll talk about this a bit later, but whoa, just showing it was a bit rough, eh? Yeah. But there you go. Clippers, good stuff. For the Warriors, Boogie goes down after his steal. He's chasing the ball down, blown left quad, 4 minutes, it's all over. Steph had 29 points in this game, 5 from 11 from 3. Missed the last one for the win, though. Well, yeah, to tie it back up. Well, basically for the win at the sort of end, it's like, oh, nope, he's missed it. Holy shit. And the Clippers get the ball, and they foul Montrez, and he hits his free throws. They're up 4, and it's like, fucking game, done, all over. Absolutely wild. The coward snake, Kevin Durant, he had 21, but there was only on 8 field goal attempts, though. He went 11-12 from the free throw line. Also had 9 turnovers. We'll talk about that later. Draymond had 14 points, 9 assists. Clay had 17 points, only 1 of 4 from downtown for him. Kevin Looney had a career-high 19 points and 5 rebounds. On ya, good on ya. Iggy went 9, 4, and 5. But man, the Warriors just went absolutely missing in that fourth quarter, didn't they? I mean, it was absolutely wild times. Curry, he hit, what, 2 of, what's that, 6, 2 of 7. 2 of 9. I got to learn how to add up. That is fucking nuts. 2 of 9. What are you doing, Steph? Mate. That's brutal. But yeah, no Boogie obviously hurts them, but still, man, what are you doing? So for the Clippers, I mean, what the fucking fuck, mate? That was just nuts. They shot 56% for the game, 45% from three. They just couldn't bloody miss. It was absolutely wild times. It's pretty great. 14-31 they go from downtown. They had 19 turnovers, but I mean, they actually won the turnover battle, which is fucking crazy when you think about it. They out-rebound. Well, no, they didn't out-rebound the Warriors either. It's just fucking a weird-ass game. Jesus. On your Clips. This is so much fun. So this was all Lou Will down the stretch. 36 points he ends up with. 13-22 from the field. 2-4 from three. He also had 11 assists. He's the 162nd highest paid NBA player this year. That's pretty good. Pretty good. Yeah. Anyway, so what else? Montrezl Harrell, he had 25 points. He was a perfect 9 of 9, which is pretty great. Yeah, look, you'll take that. You know, don't forget that. Pretty good. 162nd highest paid player, though, Lou Will. That's awesome. But yeah, Trez with his 25 and 10 was sick. Jamarcus Green, 13 and 7. Shai Redick, Gilgeous Alexander had 4 points. 4 steals and 5 assists. The Shai Redder smashed it. Gallinari, Danilo Gallinari had 20 points. 24 points. Landry Shamwow, Shaman had 12 points. Pat Bev had 10 points, 5 steals. Fouled out, but also destroyed the coward snake Kevin Durant in the process. Absolutely wild times. 31 points. There was literally just nothing they could do about it either. God damn, that was fun. Whew. 15 of 24 they shot in that fourth quarter. Clippers. Legendary, 41 points they scored. They scored 44 in the third quarter, 41 in the fourth. Ran right over the top of the defending champions. Absolutely crazy. So good stuff all around by the Clips. You know what that means? They're all tied up, one each in the 1-8 as well. That is awesome. Good job, Clippers. You absolute superstars. All right, let's get to the NBA Australia Approved Performance of the Night, though.
That's not a knife.
That's a knife, Big Simo. Ben Simmons, 18, 10, and 12. Holy shit, comes out from being booed. And he goes, all right, fuck all yous. You fucking ungrateful dickheads. Goes out and smashes a lazy triple-double. 8 blokes ever have matched that stat line in an NBA playoff game before their 23rd birthday. That's Oscar Robertson, LeBron James, Chris Paul, Paul George, Charles Barkley, Magic Johnson, Clyde Drexler. Pretty good company. And also Rajon Rondo. Wild. So Big Simo, Ben Simmons. And this is the thing that fucking gets me up. All right, I'm going to yell about this later. I mean, Jesus. I'll just work my way up to it. Anyway, Lou Will also gets the extra NBA Australia Approved Performance of the Night because he just put his team on his back, dragged them to the biggest playoff comeback in NBA history with a huge win, 36 points, could barely fucking miss. He was unreal. Good job, Clippers. I'm so stoked for them. We believe. That's right. They are the We Believe Clippers. That was great. Anyway, what about Old Mate No Mates for today, though?
Old Mate No Mates.
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 Who's got no mates today? Ah, is it Brett Brown? What do you reckon? Everyone buried the fucking guy after they lost game one and gets zero credit when they win today. Tough sledding for old Bretty. But anyway, what about DeMarcus Cousins? That sucks. Old Mate No Mates is his left leg, apparently. He just can't seem to catch a fucking break, that poor bloke. I mean, he gloms on with a championship team for sure, but still. That is rough as guts. Also, who else is a bit of Old Mate No Mates? Joel Embiid. It's a lot of kind of throwing fucking elbows at Jared Allen's heads for my liking, and everyone's like, oh, fuck you, and Rodion Kurix came back down and did the same thing back, but yeah, a lot of elbows being thrown. I like to see it. Let's get a little bit more oomph in that fucking Net Sixers series, shall we? Spud of the night, though.
Spud, 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 it is spud of the night.
Chris Webber, spud of the night, calling Boogie's injury a flat tire. That was pretty fucking on the nose there, Chris, you dickhead. He's going to go, oh, we call that a flat tire. He just blew his fucking leg apart, you dick. Settle down, Chris. But actual spud of the night on the floor was Kevin Durant. That's right, the coward snake, Kevin Durant. 21 points. Oh, but Jimmy, that's pretty good. Yeah, he went 5 of 8 from the field. That's right, Kevin Durant only took 8 shots. Went 11 of 12 from the free throw line. 5 rebounds. Oh, that's pretty good, bro. I don't know, did you watch this game? Kevin Durant couldn't do fucking anything against Pat Beverly. That's right.
He had 9 turnovers. There were like so many different points where KD just had the ball. He's like casually sort of dribbling. And he's like, all right, oh, Pat Bev is on me, whatever. Call up the screen. And then he's suddenly doubled. And he's like, oh, fuck, what do I do? Throws the ball away. It was great to watch. No real coincidence that when he left the court, the Warriors were sort of getting back up again after he fouled out. But, you know, pretty weird coincidence. But still, they ended up losing regardless. So, I don't know. The Coward Snake, absolute spud, being outplayed by Pat Beverly. Good shit. Panting of the night, that goes to the Nets in the third quarter as well. But also, really, come on. It's the Golden State Warriors. They blew a 3-1 lead and a 31-point lead here. That's incredible. Absolutely wild times. How do you blow a 31-point lead in third quarter? You did it. You went and did it. I can't believe you did the damn thing. That is absolutely fucking nuts, Warriors. Ah, pretty great, though. Pretty good. And we can also give a bit of a pantsing to the fucking dipshit Philly fans who booed Ben Simmons on Sunday, isn't it? Like, that's a bit of a pantsing. It's fucking game one of the first round, you dickheads. I mean, what the fuck you idiots doing? I mean, you can say dumb shit like, oh, he stank, he can't shoot, we ain't ever going to win anything with him, all you want, but you better keep saying it after he drops a fucking triple-double and leads you to a blowout win, you nongs. I mean, fucking hell, you drafted him. Get madder at Tobias Harris, where your idiot GM traded away all your depth and didn't even get someone back who can really guard point guards, you know? And also disappeared in that same game. Fuck off. So you got pantsed fully by Big Simo today, and I loved every second of it. All right, what about better than Lonzo Ball for today, though?
Lonzo was the best player in high school. He was the best player in college. You think you're going to get to the pros and be like, I made it to the pros, now I can be average. He's coming for everybody.
Coming for everybody, because you know what it is? It's bowling season.
It's bowling season.
Oh, really? Is it though? Because, I don't know. I still reckon LeVar Ball should be made GM of the Lakers. Who better replace Magic Johnson? But anyway, today's better than Lonzo Ball is a couple of other LA rookies, Landry Shamwow Shamet and Pat Beverly. Oh, not Pat Beverly. Shai Redick-Gilgeous-Alexander. Shamwow goes 4 of 9 from 3, ends up with 12 points, absolutely smashed in the biggest baller shot you'll ever see as a rookie. That was fucking nuts to get the Clippers ahead. Absolutely wild scenes. The best part was Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, SGA, was the one who threw him the assist. Shai Redick has 4 points, 5 assists, 4 steals. Absolutely smashed at the two rooks. That was ballsy as hell, and big ballers, you know, don't lose $2 million to a sketchy family friend. They go out and win playoff games. Just saying. All right, we'll be back in a second with Yeah Nah, right after this.
Hi, this is Ryan Brockhoff, and you're listening to NBA Australia.
Alright, it's time for Yeah Nah, where we take 3 NBA storylines, it's going to be more than that, and decide whether they're more yeah or more nah. Number 1, was that Embiid elbow to the face of Jarrett Go The Fro Allen actually a flagrant 2? He got assessed a flagrant 1. I mean, I kind of think it was, right? There's no real reason beyond, like, I'm going to lift my fucking elbow up on this post move to basically try to get you in the head and cause you some fucking harm. It's like half a part of a basketball move, but half also a fucking prick. I'm going to get you in the head with a shit ton of force behind my elbow move. So I think that should have been a flagrant. So I'm all for, like, you know, a bit of rough and tumble there under the basket. But, like, swinging elbows into people's faces isn't it, Chief. It isn't it. Look, I had this one written before the end of that game. It was, should we call the Clippers Warriors series now? I wrote, nah. I'm one step ahead of myself. The series hasn't started till someone has lost at home. I also then wrote, but this also feels Dunsky, right? Oh, shit. Clippers, Warriors, 1-1. How good is that? I guess on the end of that, are the Warriors in trouble with the Boogie injury? Does it derail the Warriors tilted a three-peat? Nah, if anything, I reckon they just get to roll on with Bogut and Looney and not worry about Boogie needing shots. They'll be fine. That kind of sucks because it's just how good they are. But, I mean, we'll talk about this in a second, but I kind of like it, you know. It's going to be fun. But great job, Clippers. I mean, I'd literally written, the series hasn't started till someone lost at home and then the Warriors lost at home. It's all flipped on its fucking head. It's great. Next up, do you feel bad for Boogie? I mean, yeah, no, of course. Yeah. Fuck yeah. I mean, the poor bloke is only in his second ever playoff game, and he shreds his quad after going for a loose ball after last year basically being like, all right, we're going to make the playoffs. I'm on the Pelicans. How good is this? And blows his fucking Achilles. Jesus. Poor bloke can't catch a fucking break. Fuck. I mean, he's out there skidding around like, you know, a pair of fucking two-year-olds jocks, but Jesus. Anyway, finally, should KD just stop bitching? Yeah, nah, yeah, I mean, what did he tell the undefeated today? Yo, just watch the game. Just focus on the game and stop nitpicking. Because there's a beautiful game going on out there. What can I do right now? I can't sign a paper. I've got to do the most important thing, and that is play. That's what we should be focusing on. Let's appreciate what's going on the basketball court. I know it's a sexy part of the NBA, the free agency, trades, transactions. But it's a beautiful game that we're out here playing. I feel like I play a different and unique way that might inspire some people. I mean, all right, cool. You never know where you can get it. Where does it get that inspiration from? It's always been my fight with people to focus on the basketball. The other stuff will take care of itself when time comes. Okay. Me doth think the bitch protesteth too much. Yeah, he's gone. He's definitely gone to New York. All right, what about time for the unpopular opinion of the day?
Now look at me, please. Look at me.
Look at me. Boogie's injury. Reckon that could probably make the Warriors a bit more fun to watch. I mean, it's like we've ramped up the difficulty level on that game, right? Whereas they could have just stormed through and gone, ah, fuck it. We need a bucket. Throw it to Boogie. Now they've got to do a little bit more. It's kind of interesting. I like that. And finally, it's Tuesday at Outback Takehouse. And you know what that means? Cassowary casserole. That's right. We've chased down a couple of these fucking killer buggers. We lost 47 men, but we've still made you a cassowary casserole. Tastes like shit, but it's fucking there, and they didn't die for nothing, you know what I'm saying? And today's flame grill take from Outback Takehouse says, I would rather have Pep Bev on my team than the coward snake Kevin Durant, because at least I know he's going to give his all every game and not be a capital B bitch. Only at Outback. Oh, yeah, I'll take that. How good was Pat Bev today? He fucking stopped the coward snake Kevin Durant in his tracks. That was sick. Nice one. All right, we'll be back in a second with Australian Player Watch, the Mark Brakey Memorial Sweaty White Guy of the Week, and we're going to do the game previews and Patty Mills all in one segment. So let's just do that right after these.
G'day, this is PDX Pete. When I'm not sipping on IPAs or throwing down voodoo donuts, I'm tuning in to NBA Australia. Fuck yeah.
This is Andrew Bogut, and you are listening to NBA Straya. All right, let's do it. The Australian Player Watch. We have three of our seven remaining Australians on the court today. We have Big Simo Ben Simmons, obviously, against the Nets, get his second ever playoff triple-double. Equaling Wilt the Stilt Chamberlain and Charles Barkley is the only person to get more than one for the Sixers. That's pretty great. He had 18 points, 10 rebounds, 12 assists, went 8 of 12 from the field, and 2 steals. And just looked really bloody good, didn't he? That was awesome. A bit of garbage time as well out there for son of Bruce, Jonah Bolden. 15 minutes he played. Unfortunately, went 0 of 2 from the field, both from the three-point line. But he did go 1 of 2 on free throws. So he ends up with 1 point, 3 rebounds, and a turnover. On you, Jonah. It was good to see him getting some run, though. It'd be nice just to see them actually like use him and him hit a couple of these threes that he's taking. But anyway, and Andrew Bogut was the third Australian out there today. On ya, he had 17 minutes after Boogie went down. 1 of 2 from the field for Bogey, 3 points. He also went 1 of 2 from the free throw line. 9 rebounds, 2 assists, and 1 block. Pretty good. But you know, that also leads us to the Mark Brakey Memorial Sweaty White Guy of the Week was Andrew bloody Bogut. It was pretty fun to see, like, so Boogie goes out very, very early on. They're like, ah, shit, we got to throw Bogut out there. And Bogut sort of runs around. He's obviously in great shape from basically playing in the NBL. He was in shape, like, to a crazy degree at the start of the NBL season, don't forget. So he gets out there, he's all good. And after about, like, his first stint, though, he really had a nice sweat on. So Boogie is out. Bogey comes in and turns in the Mark Brakey Memorial Sweaty White Guy of the Week. That was unreal. Getting pretty hairy. Got a nice sweat up. You know, just underneath that jersey, he's got a veritable forest of thick Croatian chest hair as well. So, on your Bogey. It was great to see. Loved it. All right, for the Patty Mills Game Day Bowl, a game day Twitter check-in / inspiration board for today. Let's do it. We have Matty Dellavedova tweeted out. That's right. His final, final sort of message for the season. Tweeted out, lots of highs and lows this year, but really excited for next year back in the land and getting back in the playoffs. Thanks for the support. Love heart emoji, thumbs up emoji, and then a picture of him in Cleveland. That's right, Stephen A. Smith, in Cleveland.
Cleveland!
High-fiving a bunch of kids with a Cleveland ball under his hand. Good on you, Deli. You absolute bloody legend. That's awesome, isn't it? He's a man of the people, if nothing else. King Deli of Maryborough, first of his name, Smasher of Tins. Tweeter of nice things, too. All right, let's do the game previews for tomorrow, shall we?
Game previews! Game previews!
What are you thinking, Inverton Bane?
I'm really enjoying these 2 to 3 games a day thing.
Tell me about it. All right, so we've got Wednesday's games, man. We've got 3 game twos tomorrow. Let's have a look at the odds, and we'll make a bit of a pick and do a little bit of a preview for each of them. So tomorrow we do have the Orlando Magic taking on the Toronto Raptors. Don't forget, the Magic are up 1-0 in this, and they are 10-point underdogs going into game two. The Raps, you just know that they're going to clamp down. And really, it's going to be a very similar situation, one would think, to the Sixers, where they focus in pretty hardcore. They maybe sort of underestimated their opponent in game one. They come out in game two and absolutely fucking smash them. And I've got a feeling this is a sort of game of the Magic. Look, they've got a very experienced coach. They've also got a very interesting array of players where day in, day out, you're not entirely sure what the fuck's going to happen. So I might take the Raptors minus 10 to absolutely shit pump the Magic tomorrow. Apologies to the Magic fans out there. It's just a guts to call it the ways I sees it. So there you go. Raptors minus 10. Spurs at Nuggets for game two after the Spurs took game one in Denver. This should be pretty good. The Spurs are 6.5-point underdogs and going into game two. And likewise, I feel like the Nugs might run a little bit more through the Joker in this one and actually cover. So I reckon the Nuggets will win by more than 7. So give me the Nuggets minus 6.5. The Spurs didn't quite get as much as you'd think out of LaMarcus Aldridge and DeMar DeRozan there in game one. And you'd expect a little bit more of a bounce back. But at the same time, for the Nuggets at home, you've got to feel like Gary the Dartsman Harris, Jamal Murray, and their bench, as well as the Nikola Jokic, hello, Joker, actually sort of bounce back and have much better games. So I'm going to take the Nuggets minus 6.5. And then finally, a real another barn burn. I'm loving this series. OKC at Portland. OKC are 2-point underdogs against the Blazers. The Blazers finally crack their playoff duck, winning a game for the first time in 3 years. It's pretty good. You'll take that. 2-point favorites at home. I think I'll take the Blazers in this one. Thunder, I think, make it a closer game, but I feel like the Blazers win by about 4 or 5. I reckon Dame has another really, really good game. I reckon Rusty might have a really rubbish efficiency-wise game. Paul George will probably find his shot a little bit, but I don't think there'll be enough support from the rest of the Thunder crew to get them over the Blazers. So give me the Blazers minus 2, and I reckon that'll be a fun-as-hurl game. Nice one. Sweet. There you go. So, to recap, the Raptors minus 10, Nuggets minus 6.5, and the Blazers minus 2. Oh, fuck. I'm taking all the favorites. That sucks. I don't really want to do that. But it's game twos. I reckon we're going to see the home teams win all them. So, don't know what to tell you. Going to have to do it. Raptors minus 10, Nuggets minus 6.5, Blazers minus 2. And you know what? Holy shit. That's it. Wow. Kind of quick episode today. I love this. How good is it? All right, we're back tomorrow to wrap up all 3 of those games. Hopefully, it'll be as much fun as today's was. Holy shit, that was cool. 31 points, Clippers! Warriors, what are you doing? You're all discombobulated. I'm really looking forward to KD and Draymond punching on the next game. Anyway, that's it. We're back tomorrow. That is going to be amazing. We'll wrap up those 3 game twos for you. In the meantime, make sure you're following NBA Australia on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. We're all over the old socials during the games. It's wicked fun. Chuck us a rating and review on iTunes, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, however you listen to NBA Australia on your Android. Mash whatever stars you can find. And tell a mate. Go, oi, fucking subscribe to this, you dickhead, or I'll fire. Just do it. Big thanks to... we also are on Spotify, which is really, really fun and really good. So chuck us a follow there. Big thanks to From Oslo for the intro and outro song, but go check out their new band, House Hats. Their debut album, Running Out of Time, is awesome and it's out now. Really, really good stuff. Also, big thanks to Fascinator, Ramshackle Army, Iowa, Sex Jedi, Green Green Green, and Dozers for all the tunes you heard throughout the show. Give them all a smash on Bandcamp and Facey and support them the way they support us. And remember, NBA Australia supports Australian bands. If you've got a band, mates are in a band, send us your shit. We'll play it. All right, that's it for today. We'll finish off today's show with a new Jingles HR as Jingles answers a question from Luke, formerly of Los Angeles. It's pretty good, trust me. And that's it. We'll wrap up all those games. Tomorrow's going to be fun as hell. So we'll catch you tomorrow, you dickheads. This is NBA Australia saying, later. Oh, g'day you jingler jokers. Joe Ingles here, the head of Jingles HR, the official HR firm of NBA Australia. Just answering all your workplace related questions. Because yep, when I'm not sinking threes or buying real estate in Paul George's head, I am the best HR professional you'll find. Just because I look like Toby from The Office doesn't mean this is some sort of fucking joke, because nobody knows HR like the jingler. So let's get to this week's question, shall we? It comes from Luke in Sacramento. Hey, Joe. Hi there. Hey. So, hey, I recently got fired, then got a new job straight away. Do you have any tips for going into a new job and a new office? Thanks. Luke, formerly of Los Angeles, now in Sacramento. Oh, geez, thanks for writing in there, Luke. And look, I know. Transitioning out of any role is a hard one, especially when you've been strategically reassigned to no longer having a role with an organization. That's what we say around here. We don't use the F word or call it fired here at Jingles HR. We call it strategically reassigned to no longer having a role. Okay, so it's tough. We know that. It's very, very hard, but you've got to look forward. And obviously, if you found a new job straight away, that's terrific. Because the way to transition into a brand new role at a new organization, look, there's a few schools of thought. First, be friendly and be open to any subordinates you may now have. Even though you're their boss, you need them on your side to succeed. So I'd suggest run a team building exercise at first. Maybe try some trust falls. Sit in a circle, get to know each other games, tell everybody something about yourself that they wouldn't know, etc. Because, I mean, finding out more about each other really brings a group together. After that, I'd do some group exercises where you actually go out on an excursion. My favourites are go-karting and escape rooms. But you also can't go past just going out to a pub and getting a couple of cans with everybody, you know? Alcohol is really a great way to loosen everyone up and build a bit of camaraderie, especially when the younger employees go a bit overboard and do and say some dumb things that everyone can laugh about later. But as a resident HR manager, I can't actually condone any sort of official capacity going out to the pub and drinking to excess. Just say and do it anyway. And look, secondly, I'd make sure that you and your management are on the same page from day one, because you know you need to know your KPIs. You also need to know theirs and the organization's though, so you can all start from the same page and work towards a common goal. I can't stress enough how important this is. You don't want to go into a job with misconceptions or have the goalpost moved on you now, do you? I mean, thirdly, just have fun with it. It's a new job. It's an opportunity to meet new people. I mean, who's got kids? Does Cheryl like cats? What's a good lunch spot near here? Who's banging who in the office is always a funny one. Not that we have to, you know, there's paperwork for that, just saying. What are the sweet pubs nearby that I can go get a feed after work at? You know, all that great stuff. It's what life is about. I mean, after all, as we say here at Jingles HR, a job isn't just your job, it's your bloody life. So there you go, Luke. Go have some fun, enjoy your new job, enjoy the new role, enjoy the new organization, and I really hope my advice helps. And that's all we've got time for this week. We'll be back with Jingles HR next week on NBA Australia. Until then, I've been Joe Ingles. Get back to work and get it dog up ya. Yeah.